Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Round of applause for that, please. It's really interesting because when it's Mother's Day, it's a lot of pageantry. Father's Day is just like, man, we're just like, I just want to rest. Like, I don't need anything. I just want to be able to sit and, you know, not have to think or do anything. Amen. Glory to God. It's been an exciting and adventurous week in the Boyd household. It's really probably the past month. Virginia graduated from high school this past Thursday. Our two twins, Ace and Aspen, they turned 15. So they're getting up there and getting ready to go get a job. Thank you for laughing. Yes, right? Dad jokes on Father's Day. It's a great thing. On Friday, Stacy, she had been coordinating this for about a month. She was like, listen, we're going on a family date. And I'm like, all right, no problem. And she's like, we're going to the movies. I'm not a big movie person. At home I am. I like being at home watching movies. But she said, hey, we're going to see Inside Out 2, right? Any Inside Out fans? Yes, right? And it was really, there we go. And it was really, really great. Like, I love the creativity of how they really go about really talking about emotions and what they mean and how it affects us all individually, okay? And so we're going to tap into a little bit of that, but not too much. But we are going to continue and wrap up what we've been talking about over the past 2 weeks, which is about us being joined together. And that is based on the scripture that's in Ephesians 4 and 16 that states which every joint supplies. And we've talked about this, about how God, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, not only our human body, but the body of Christ, that he has given, if you will, servants to serve the body of Christ. And this is the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, or preachers, right? To kind of serve. And they have two pretty much responsibilities. Okay, it's to edify the body of Christ, but also to prepare the body for ministry. All right, so this can be summed up really in two words. That's unity and maturity. Because if we don't have spiritual maturity, we're really not going to be able to serve the body of Christ, but also minister and be ministers for God and minister the gospel. Okay? And if those things are done really well, if those goals are met, then there are some expected results from the fivefold ministry if we can do that. And it's found in Ephesians 4:14-16. And the first thing that it says out of the gate is, we will no longer be children. We will no longer be children, which kind of checks the box on the maturity aspect, right? And I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, it says, man, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I behaved like a child, I spoke like a child, I did childish things. But when I became an adult, I put those things away. And that's the result of the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ. The next thing it says is that this is another box we have to check. We will not be tossed here and there by every and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Right? So it makes sense. If we're no longer children, then I won't be persuaded or tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that maybe the world tries to put on me. Okay? And I won't get caught up by the trickery of men and their craftiness in deceitful schemings. We know that the world is full of deceitfulness and the schemes that are attached with it. But then we get to the good part. And it says, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all aspects into him. We will grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The body builds itself up in love. Meaning that all the answers that I need for my physical body is within my body. And so if my human body and the body of Christ is so important, is so important, it is fearfully and wonderfully made, then the question becomes, how do we take care of this body? How do we take care of our joints? Now, there's exercises. I'm not a doctor, but I'd say before you start any exercise regimen, please consult your physician. And before you start any spiritual journey, I would encourage you to please consult the fivefold ministry or an elder in the church. Because it's going to be a journey. Because see, we are responsible to steward over the physical body that God has given us because it is a gift. It's ours. He knows the very hairs upon our head or the lack thereof. Man, y'all are quick this morning. And so as we talk about the body and how we take care of it, we talked about exercise, but we also have to talk about diet. There are things that help your joints to move and to function well that really reduce inflammation. It's fruit, it's vegetables, it's whole foods, it's nuts, it's all those different type of things that we could probably see and find in the Daniel fast. And as well for us relationally, it's diet and exercise. There's a verse in Proverbs, I believe it's 25:17, that says, hey, when you go to your friend's house, don't stay too long. Meaning, know when to leave. Sometimes we don't know when to leave, which can affect the relationship. An hour's great. Two, wait a minute. But all these are things that we have to really think about. Last week, we talked about the importance of these shock absorbers. And we talked about cartilage, tendons, and ligaments and how they're the structural system that really helps the joints do and function in a way that is beneficial to the body. But then for the body of Christ, we have these shock absorbers because what do we know is going to happen? We know that relationships are going to go through some things. They're going to go through moments of distrust. They're going to go through moments of brokenheartedness. They're going to go through moments of love being betrayed. And there's going to be misunderstandings. So when it shock happens to these relationships, how do we respond to that or react to that? And what I've realized this week in studying and reading these things, this whole series can be summed up in one word. Accountability. It's accountability. Our joints are accountable to our body so that our body can move fluidly and function the way with less pain and stress that we put on it as possible. We have an accountability to one another in the body of Christ. It starts with God and the fivefold ministers, but then it goes down to us. Because here's what I would tell you. Over the past 2 weeks, whether you realize it or not, we've had prophetic word that has been spoken. It's not just a thing, whether it's Jasmine or myself or even Bridget who comes up to close, that is a prophetic word. That is not to be taken lightly. And so in the accountability of what we see as the body of Christ, but also our human body, he's given us our bodies to steward over, as well as the body of Christ that we may steward well over one another as a collective. And I know that's going to seem a little interesting because some of us who sit in here now, we probably don't know one another's names, but we know that, hey, we're in Garden City Church. But what I would also tell you is that Garden City Church is only an aspect of the bigger whole of the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is worldwide. And we might do some things here at Garden City that other churches may not do, and that's okay. That doesn't make us wrong or them wrong. It's just different. But many times in the body of Christ, we start to look at our differences as if they're wrong when they're not wrong. They're just different. And it's the same thing as far as our human bodies. Some of us are really tall. Some of us are short. Some of us have hair and some of us don't. Some of us walk with a limp, some of us don't. It doesn't mean that it's right or wrong, it just means it's different. This is why we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so here's where we're going to come to this morning as we land this plane. If we're talking about accountability, we have to begin to understand what are we accountable for and who are we accountable to. It's easy for me to stand up here as a husband and a father and say, I'm accountable to Stacy and all of our children. I know that. We know that. It's another thing for me to stand up here as a pastor here at Garden City Church and say, I'm accountable for each and every one of you. I'm accountable to my brother Brian. I'm accountable to show up and to be prepared to minister God's word. And what I will tell you is, and this is me being, as always, very, very vulnerable before you, is that I've just been consuming too much. I've been eating too much. I'm overweight. I'm obese. Now, before you think I'm talking about my physical body, which I am not, y'all felt more comfortable that I said that. So I was like, man, he's really being vulnerable this morning. But I'm talking about spiritually. Because here's the thing. We've talked for 2 weeks about joints, and it's a lot of great information. We've equated it over to the body. And there's been takeaways of things that could be done that we need to start working on as people. But if I took a straw poll in here and said, hey, man, how many people have really leaned into forgiveness and love? And I'm not asking you to do that. Because here's what I know. I know that the Spirit of the Lord will convict, not condemn. Because it convicted me on this week. He said, son, what are you actually doing and how are you actually applying the word that you're teaching and that you're preaching each and every day? What does that look like for you in your walk? And that's the question I ask for all of us. Because see, if we're talking about, if the body of Christ is so important, how are we taking care of it? Then we have to work some of these things out. We have to exercise some of these lessons that we are learning and not simply just be consumers. I said this in the first service, like, God is not a restaurant or a store, and neither is his word. His word is simply not just for us to consume it and to take it in and just to say amen and okay, man, it was great, it was good, now I'm gone and I'm leaving. But what's going to be the practical application this week for you as you have heard and digested God's word? See, I have my notes up there, and they're really great notes. They're really good, and I was really prepared this week. But I'll be honest with you, man, the Spirit wrestled with me all night. And he gave me visions of talking about what I'm talking to you about now, and I'm like, God, I'm really trying to get out of it because I really don't want people to feel like I'm condemning them. He said, son, don't you worry about the people. As he told Jeremiah, he said, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am there to deliver you, saith the Lord. And if I get too caught up in how you may respond or how you may look at me, guess what? God is going to hold me accountable for the word that I said and the word that I did not say. So I'm going to give you what God gave me. But I got my notes if we feel comfortable with the notes. Brian likes to say, hey, Kent, man, you're in your exhortation gifting. Absolutely. So body of Christ, my brothers and my sisters, there might need to be a fast that happens in the body of Christ. And it's not a fasting from food or from a TV show. But maybe we need to fast from just being consumers of God's word. from taking all this word in, from hearing it, and say, man, how am I really going to go and do this word? Because the word of God is what is living and is acting, active, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the marrow and the joints and everything. But man, am I deadening God's word? I believe the sister prophesied and she gave us prophecy last week of dry bones. Bones become dry when we do nothing with God's word. And it just rings hollow. And Bridget came, she came into me, she was like, hey, if you're closing, I got a word. And I said, I ain't closing, Jasmine is. And I see her and Jasmine over there talking, next thing you know, Bridget runs and she comes and gives a word. Now see, that's the fivefold ministry in action. If you've never been taught about the fivefold ministry, you don't really understand it, man, it's really like having a set of coaches or corporate pastors who are working together for the manifestation and the uplifting and the edification of the body. And here's something else I'm going to say that, man, it may not jive with you, but I'm telling you, this is biblical. And if you don't like the fivefold ministry, not the actual fivefold ministry, but the person that serves or the people that serve in those offices, and I said this to our men's group on Thursday, please talk about them, but just only to God. Don't talk about them to your neighbor. Don't tell them how much that what they said might have offended you. If you have an issue with anything I'm saying, please go talk about me to God. Because I'm not saying this is going to make you comfortable, and I don't expect a whole bunch of amens this morning. Because I didn't give God any amens last night when he had me up all night wrestling. But what I understand is something my father told me years ago when I was growing up. He says, Bubba, I get that you're learning things, but how are you applying it? And I never understood what he meant by that. I just said yes because I was very intimidated of my father. But when it comes to the word of God that we are allowed to absorb and to carry, there's a responsibility that is attached with it. It's hard to hold anybody accountable for something they did not know. But see, when we come here and we sit up under teaching, we sit up under worship, we become accountable to the things that we now hear and know. And then God expects us to do something with it. How do I know that? Let's go to his word. So if we go to James, the first chapter, this is James talking to the 12 tribes. And he starts off in James 1, verses 22 through 25. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let me give you a practical day example. Okay, I can read Men's Health magazine. I can absorb that information. I can take in all the stuff it tells me about exercise. I can even go buy weight equipment and put it in my home. But if I don't do nothing with any of that stuff, I'm deceiving myself. Stacy asks, hey, babe, when are you going to start that? Oh, I'm going to start it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, it doesn't happen. Hey, babe, I'm going to start it next week. Next week happens. But I know all of the benefits if I just simply start working out or start the walking or start doing anything. I know the benefits of it, but I still don't do it. All I'm doing is deceiving myself, brothers and sisters. It all sounds really good. It looks good in my house. I have the magazines that where if you come over, you're going to say, hey, man, Kent must be a ferocious reader. Nah, it's just decorations. It's just decorations. It looks good, right? And so I'm deceiving myself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man or a woman who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like or what she looks like. I forget that I'm a child of God. I forget that I'm from above and not beneath. I forget that I'm the head, not the tail. I forget that a cattle on a thousand hill belongs to him, therefore it belongs to me. I forget that I have dominion over everything that creeps upon the earth. I forget these things. Why? Because I've just consumed it, but I've never went out and made it living and active in my life. I never went out and actually did forgiveness. Not just once, but 70 times seven. I never went out and really practiced that. See, when Jesus is saying that and saying, hey, if your brother or your sister sins against you, then forgive them. And if they do it again and they repent, continue to forgive them. Because why? He's trying to create a practice of behavior. But we say we want transformation. See, God's transformational work is not easy. See, when we accepted Christ, we didn't sign up for easy. We signed up for an abundant life. An abundant life in the spirit isn't like an abundant life in the world. Abundance in the world is, man, it's fame, it's riches. There's all this big stuff and stuff, material. But see, when Jesus comes back and he says to Satan in the wilderness, and he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, he wasn't just talking about literal food as bread, but he is saying all those material things that Satan you offer, man just can't live by that in and of themselves. This is why we say the scripture in Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. All those things that you would like and you would desire, he will add that to you. But what happens throughout the course is he begins to reshape and to transform your desire. See, the things that you once desired, you don't desire that anymore. There was a time in my life I desired to be the head football coach at the University of Tennessee. I just don't desire that anymore. I love being the head football coach at Garfield High School. I love being a co-pastor here at Garden City Church. See, he shifted and transformed what I desire. See, that's what he'll do. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he or she will be blessed in their doing. That's the abundant life. Taking this word and now going out and doing the word. I don't know who said this, but it's somewhere. Y'all can help me where it is, but I believe there's something that says faith without works is dead. Dry bones became dry because there was no works. There was no doing. And don't misunderstand that God is looking for us to prove ourselves to receive any type of salvation or gifting or anything from him. That's not what this is talking about. What it's talking about is, hey man, now that you've heard the word, you will be blessed if you do it. It's an accountability thing. Because see, I'm going to have to give an account. Brian's going to have to give an account of how we shepherded this flock. He's going to have to give an account of how he shepherded his household. I'm going to have to give it the same account. Just like most of us in here are going to have to give an account of the things that we said and also the things that we didn't do. Matter of fact, we have sin attached to those things. It's the sin of omission and the sin of commission. When I omit to do God's word, then that's a sin. Man, I hear the amens coming. Come on, come on. Pastor Brian, come on, brother. I need one. Amen. There it is. This is good, body of Christ. Why? Because this is how we're going to be built up and we're going to be able to restore our own body. Thus, we can function and operate in love within the body because everything that we need towards life and godliness is in the body. Now we just have to be built up. This is why we're here. This is not just another time for me to stand up on platform and to speak and to talk. There's a responsibility that comes with that. It's a heavy weight. Just like being a father, being a mother. It's a heavy weight that we carry that we're going to be responsible to. And here's the thing. I can say all day long, but Lord God, you don't know my children. I said this in first service, man. I love all of my children. They're all fantastic and they're all great, right? And they all love the Lord. But some of them are difficult and hard. Two are sitting up on the front who I know don't want to sit up on the front. But it's all right, amen. Glory to God. I can't pick them up anymore like this little baby right here is being picked up. Man, he is something, man. I love his outfit. Have y'all seen this baby? Man, come on, man. Let me see this little brother. I got time. Look at him. Have y'all seen this outfit? Look at this. He's just as happy as it can be. Amen? And that's beautiful. And we all laugh. But then I go over here. Guess what I ain't doing? I ain't picking him up. He'll probably pick me up. Amen? But it's hard. It's not easy. I talked about in first service, man, we have six children. One of our children that we've adopted, and it's Umari. We love Umari. Umari's hard, though. It's hard raising him. It's tough. It's challenging. Takes a lot. I see how it affects our household. Here's what I also don't know. I don't know what it feels like being in my mother's room and she's doing crack cocaine. I don't know what that feels like. And so what I know and believe is it ain't his fault. There's a lot of sensory things going on, a lot of stuff, and but for whatever reason, God chose us for us to love him and to raise him in the love and the admonition of the Lord. And in this, God continues to give me examples and he says, hey, son, you're hard. You're difficult. I'm trying to point you in the right direction and you're refusing to go in that direction. So see, we get to see practical things of God and the love of God because we got adopted in. This really wasn't for us. He was just like, yeah, bring them Gentiles too. And all their stuff. And so we get to see that all the time. My children get to see that all the time because I know it's hard. Last weekend, Umari scaled from his window on the second floor. It's like, what? Yes, me too. And I'll tell you that initially I was very upset about it. Then the second thing I thought about was, man, I live with Jason Bourne. Like, how did he do this? And then I saw it on the camera, man. It's like, man, this is going to serve him well. But right now, son, you can't do those things. It's no different than me and God. He's like, son, yes, I've given you a gift to speak. But, man, you can't speak in that way or you can't use it to manipulate people. And you can't do it for this. But I'm telling you, if you allow me to put my super on your natural, then I will exalt you. It's no different. God is showing me my walk with him through Umari. And he said, son, I want you to see what I had to go with and deal with when it came to you. I know, man, like the word of God says, even when I made my bed in hell, that he was there too. And I've been in some hellish situations. But he never gave up on me. I can't say the same about myself when it comes to Umari. But that sister never has given up on him. See, I get to see Jesus in her, through her, love him. Unconditionally. With all this stuff. It becomes a living embodiment of how we go out and do the word. It's great, man. This has been a great series. What are we going to now go and do, though? An invitation was opened up. I want to say it was 2 weeks ago. Sister Jasmine came up and says, listen, some of you right now, we're harboring some unforgiveness. Hey, maybe we need to start moving out of that. Maybe we need to start moving out of that. And sometimes the movement is literal, meaning that sometimes you need to get up and you need to go and move. And I know, man, that's not something that we always feel comfortable with because we hear the praise and worship, and I know something's stirring, but sometimes it's okay just to get up and move, to shift or to change the direction of things. Because we got to stop harboring unforgiveness. We really got to start loving. And it's a spontaneous love. Like, I don't have to think about how do I love my enemies and navigate through that. No, I got to think with the fast track of my mind to where it's like, man, I can spontaneously love my enemies. You know why? Because that's how God first loved me. Because I was an enemy to him. And guess what? We can do that for one another. And we're going to have praise and worship. They're going to come up. They're going to sing some songs. But here's my encouragement. You've heard something the past 3 weeks, this being the third. Bridget, that sister came up, man, and she gave us a prophetic word last week about dry bones. Joints ache and start to deteriorate when they're underutilized. That's how bones get dry. We can't allow the body of Christ to get dry. This word that we hear, that we carry and hold in our hearts, man, it's living and it's active. It's here to save the lost. It's here to come at such a time as this in a broken and a fallen world. This is why we have this word. This is why we've been entrusted with it. It says that we have the keys of the kingdom. Well, I need to start praying like, God, show me what keys I need to use at certain times. That way it manifests your glory in that situation. See, that's the beauty of God's word. And here's the thing, and we're going to sing the song, but he's not keeping anything from us. Jesus said, have you not asked anything in my name? Ask that you may receive, that your joy might be what? Full. Or full to overflow. He tells us in the Old Testament, he's like, man, listen, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. But have we asked? And are we accountable to God's word to where we've asked him for this? This is why the fivefold ministry is here. The fivefold ministry is not here to lord over you. It's here to edify the body of Christ. It's here to build up the body of Christ here at Garden City and across the world. That's why. And I'll speak for Brian and myself, like, hey, yeah, we're not always going to say a word or speak a word to you that makes you feel good in your seat. It's going to make you comfortable and you're going to go home feeling like, oh, yes, 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 but it is going to convict you. My encouragement to you is, man, just don't run out and leave when you feel hurt. When you feel like something's happened, just stay. Just stay and let's talk about it. Let's talk through that. Let us know what that looks like and what that feels like. Amen? Man, come on back up. So let's stay joined together. Let's stay joined together. It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to work some things, exercise some things out. things are going to happen in the midst in the course of our relationships, but man, God is just refining us in it. He's restoring us through it. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and how you have uniquely postured us and joined us and fitted us together as the body of Christ. And Lord God, our prayer right now is that, Father God, we will not just be consumers of your word, but help us, Father God, to be doers of this word. Help us to activate and to bring action to the word that we are hearing, Father God, that you are depositing from your fivefold ministers, from your spirit, Lord God, that we can go and live this thing out in a broken and a fallen world. And as we do that, Lord God, you will be lifted up. You will be lifted up among us. And you will draw all the people unto yourself. Lord God, this is our prayer. This is our hope, because you are our hope of glory. We thank you, Father God, for the accountability of your word, for being ministers of reconciliation, not just reconciling people back to you, but reconciling people to one another. That is your word that you have given unto us. Help us to be bold and courageous as we do it. We pray these things now in your Son Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.